All right, well, it seems that warmer days are finally here. What do you think? At least for this weekend, you know, we got some warmer days finally here to stay. So, you know, you're going to start seeing some shorts and sandals, right? Mowing and trimming, that season is here. Whether you love it or hate it, it is here. You know, tilling and planting for all you gardeners out there, it is the season. Spring is soon going to turn straight into summer. Seems like it's always a really short season, you know, we go straight from one to the other. It's not uncommon right now to see cars heading down the highway with windows down, right? Not maybe as often with all of our luxuries of air conditioning, but every now and then you see this, and I love when you see a car going down the road with the windows down, and you see this sight, a dog with its head hanging out the window, just happy as can be, right? And every time I see this, I can't help but say, man, look at them. They're just living their best life. They are just living their best life. I love it, right? The truth is, life is full of highs and lows. And as we live here in Western Pennsylvania, you know that you can go from, we can go through all four seasons in one day, you know. You wake up to snow, and then it's 80 out, and it just rain, and you name it, it's all there. Life can be that way. It can be like a really difficult roller coaster when you go straight from a high to a low and vice versa, and you just feel like you are along for the ride with no control whatsoever. You can feel that way at times, right? But of course, we can find joys. We can find joy no matter what we're going through. Every season, we can find joy. We can possess it. We find joy in the big moments as we celebrate accomplishments, and there's a lot of them coming up here, right? It is a season for all kinds of things. We got graduations happening, we've got weddings, you know, births, vacations, I mean, you name it. There's lots of things to celebrate. It seems like the summer calendar fills up very quickly with all kinds of celebrations happening. It just is the season for them. However, there are also so many simple things in our everyday lives that can bring us joy, that can bring us joy. Like a dog with its ears and tongue hanging out, you know, going down the road, you can find joy in life. You too can live your best life. But what does that look like for a human? Dogs are easy, man. Give them a treat, rub their belly, they're happy, you know. I mean, why are we so complex and complicated and sometimes convoluted, and what makes you happy one day makes you miserable the next? I don't know. We are just fickle people. But what does a human's best life look like? How can we receive it? How can we live it? How can we live our best life? And all of us know these truths. Jesus is what? Three things. He is the... Yeah, you know. So he is the life, right? He is the life. When we receive his salvation, we are born again, right? You're a brand new creation. We know these truths. But I don't know about you, but there are days when it doesn't feel like it. I don't feel like I've been given a full, abundant life. I feel like it's getting stolen from me. Right? The Holy Spirit, as soon as we receive his salvation, he dwells within us and starts transforming us into this new creation. The very presence of God is in us. That same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave lives in you and I, right? Romans 8. These are truths. But how do we practically live these things out? Because it doesn't always feel that way. It's not always our factual experience. They may be truth, but our facts don't always line up with them. Let's turn, if you've got your Bibles or your phone or whatever, to Ephesians chapter 4. That's where we're going to spend a lot of time today. In fact, we're going to read through the whole chapter. Because just about every few phrases are unbelievable nuggets of truth that can enable you to live your best life. Like, every few words, it is crazy. Crazy how much that is in here. You know, we often look to Proverbs for the book of wisdom and how to live our lives, but, man, Ephesians 4, I'm just used to it talking about the fivefold ministry. I've never really turned to it for anything else, but here we go. We're missing out. So it starts out, and in the new, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation today, just because we like to change things up in translations and get the whole counsel of the Word of God, you know. But the heading in Ephesians 4 in the New Living Translation states unity in the body. And it reminds me of this psalm that is written about how good and pleasing it is when God's people live in unity. It says that is where his blessing rests. Unity. How do you have unity? Paul's writing from prison. I'm glad that he was, because we have this letter now, a few thousand years later. We still have this letter because he was writing it from there. He said, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to live a life worthy of your calling." I mean, if you do that, you're pretty much good in life, right? I mean, it's just like Jesus. He said, forget about all the law and the prophets, and you don't have to read through all that. Just do these two things and you got it. You guys know what those two things are? Love God and love others. God makes it simple, okay? Man, this is a tall calling right there. Lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God, okay? Some of you are like, I don't have a calling. I'm like, I don't understand. No, you have been called by God. That's literally what the next little phrase is. Always be humble and gentle. That's an easy one, right? Always be humble and gentle. How many hurts in life came just because somebody was just prideful and arrogant and just they weren't very teachable or humble? Or how many times have we hurt other people because of this? Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Every couple of words is just a whole sermon in itself, but just let that soak into your soul. Make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Proverbs says that, right? Love covers how much sin? See, you guys know the word. A multitude of sin. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Capital S, Holy Spirit. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. It's very interesting. When you have a concert band or an orchestra, the first thing that they have to do is tune. Because if they do not tune, it's not going to sound very good. But they don't start with this instrument, and you get in tune, and then the next instrument tunes it out, and the next instrument tunes it out, and the next instrument tunes it out. Because what's going to happen by the time you get to the end? This one are absolutely not going to be in tune. Not going to happen. No, instead, every instrument tunes themselves to the conductor or whoever the person is, and they usually have a little tuning, boop, you know? And everybody tunes to that. That's how we keep unity in the church. That's how we keep unity, is by the Holy Spirit. When we are all keeping in tune and walking in the Spirit, then you just naturally keep in step with each other. And it is so much fun here because I'll come and I do not communicate with people, and then boom, like God's just sharing the same things, you know. I love it. Sharon does that often. Sharon. Why? Not because we're in touch and communicating and keeping in tune with each other, but because we're keeping in tune with the same one, the Holy Spirit. That's what keeps you united, and you bind yourself together with peace. So you see these key words: humble, gentle, patient, united, bound by peace. I mean, just raise your hand. That's the life, right? Humble, gentle, peaceful. Okay, we all got some work to do, right? Yeah, let's just be honest. We need to be patient with each other and bear with each other's grievances. I mean, yeah, we need to do that. But it should be our goal. But that's the stuff that great lives are made of. That's the stuff. I don't like drama. I like peace. I don't like when people misunderstand me. I love mutual understanding. Unity. That's the life we've been called to live. We were purposed and created to live it. And it's only possible by one. By one. It's when we keep our lives in tune with one. When we live within an audience of one. When we live to please not everybody around us, not ourselves. When we live to please one, all those things just naturally come. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. We learned all about that hope last week. Hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and living through all. So there are many ways to heaven, right? Many gods that'll get you saved, right? There's one way, one truth, one life, one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism. Living our best life is to live for God. To live for God. It is to live your best life. Your life to the fullest, a life abundant. Your best life isn't my best life. Think about that. Your best life isn't my best life. Because we are all different on purpose and for a purpose. You're a unique individual. Get together in your mother's womb. You're not me and I'm not you. You're a different part of the body than I am. We don't reach unity through conformity. That's what religion tries to do. Everybody's got to look the same way, talk the same way. You know, nothing ever changes. That is not who our God is. I mean, just look out there. Everything changes constantly. The great Pocahontas once said, "You can't step in the same river twice." Right? I'll preach some Disney this morning because honestly, it's true. Like, it just baffles me. Sorry. It's true. It's constantly changing. The sun rises and the sun sets every day, but every day is a different sunrise and a different sunset. He paints it differently. It's just beautiful. I love it. He is the same and yet different. It's a paradox. And that's who we are. We are called to one, but that means we all live a different life. We're living our best life living for God, but that doesn't look exactly the same for each one of us. And he goes on here in Ephesians chapter 7. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. He has given each one of us a different gift, different giftings, different talents, different abilities, a different role in the body. The Greek word used here for this special gift is the word charis. It's where we get our lovely Pentecostal word charisma, right? Charismatic. It's the root of this word. It's typically translated into the English word grace. Grace. Because that's what it is. These are all gifts of grace. God's unbelievable, amazing grace. That is really what every one of the spiritual gifts are. They are expressions. They are manifestations of God's free gift of grace. And he gives us different grace, different giftings, different abilities. All different, all unique. But they are all needed together to form one body. There's a reason that God decided to call the church the body of Christ. Look at our own bodies. All the different parts are very different and unique from each other. Even your fingers are unique and different from one another. You know, but they are all needed. They are all necessary. They are all important. When you're missing one, you're missing a lot. You suffer. When one suffers, the whole part suffers. And we can't do the same role. My heart is great for pumping blood. My lungs, you fill them up with blood, it's not going to go very well for you. You'll die. So don't be jealous of someone else's giftings and someone else's role. For you to live your best life is to understand who you were created to be and to fulfill that calling, to fulfill that identity, your unique role in the body. I promise you, that is where you're going to feel the most fulfilled, the most satisfied, the most alive, because you're going to be truly living your life to the full. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. That quote is from Psalm 68. And theologians stay busy with this. Does that mean like he lowered himself to the earth as in he became a human and lived in our flesh? Does that mean that he literally descended into Hades and, you know, set captives free? We can debate that. I think both are true. But it comes from Psalm 68. And we often focus on that part, and we miss that last part. He led a crowd of captives, and he gave gifts to his people. The gifts that God has given us are amazing. Amazing. God is a generous giver. He does not want you to be miserable in life. He doesn't want you to be miserable in life. I'm not saying you're always going to be happy. There are purposes for everything. My goodness, take a look at Jesus. I mean, he suffered some sorrow. He was known as a man very familiar with sorrow. But it didn't end there. It didn't end there. That was not his identity. He went through a season. That season was not his life. The overall picture of your life is not intended to be one that is just stiff and miserable and sorrowful. That's not God's intent by any means. God is a generous giver. And yes, every good and perfect gift comes from him. That's what the word tells us. Every good and perfect gift. If you want the best thing for your life, it's not what the world's offering. The best thing for your life is what God is offering. Listen to just some other parts of this song in Psalm 68. We get to live our best lives filled with joy. Let the godly rejoice! Yay. Woo. Yeah. Exactly. Let them be glad in God's presence. Whew. All I want is to live my life together with people who hunger and thirst for God's presence, because there is nothing like it. Whatever problem you have in life, God's presence will take care of it. He will take care of it. In his presence is just the fullness and abundance of everything you could ever possibly need for life. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy. Sing praises to God. Praise his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides the clouds. Singers are in the front. Musicians are behind. Oh, we got a problem here. This is unbiblical. We're all side by side. Singers in the front. Musicians in the back. That's what this psalm says. Between them are young women playing tambourines. We got some tambourines over there. Got some young women here. Woo! But this is improper. You cannot have church services with people running around dancing tambourines. That's not biblical, is it? Psalm 68. All right. His name is the Lord, so rejoice in his presence. He is father to the fatherless. He is the defender of widows. That is God who's dwells in his holy place. God places the lonely in families. Places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. With a bountiful harvest, you provide for needy people. Even those who live among the sheepfolds, they found treasures. They found doves with wings of silver and feathers of gold. That was when they were leaving Egypt, man. They plundered Egypt, and they didn't have to steal anything. They willingly gave all these, oh my goodness, what God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to live our best lives. He doesn't want to withhold anything good from us. He doesn't want to withhold fun from you. He doesn't want to withhold good things from you. In fact, this, I believe it's Psalm 102, says that he will satisfy our desires with good things. He's not going to take away your desires, I've begged him to, but he wants to satisfy your desires with good things. Not with sin, but with good things that bring life and health and abundance and blessing. It's what we choose to satisfy our desires with that are the issues, not the desires themselves. This is such a common misconception and misunderstanding about God. You see, because from our very certain life, we all know that we were all born into sin. Yes. It's all that we know. All that we know is me, 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 me. Wah! Wah! I need, I want, I'm not happy. It's all about me. And then they grow up to be toddlers. I want what you have. Oh, it's mine. Arrgh! You know, we were born into sin. We were not born as good people. Just spend some time in the toddler room if you think that we were born good. You don't teach them to do that. You have to teach them not to do that. No, we don't bite, you know. No, we don't hit, we don't kick, we don't say that word. You have to teach them not to sin. You have to teach them to sin. We understand why some of the choices that we make aren't good for us. But let's be honest, you're doing it because there's something about it you enjoy. People wouldn't sin if sin wasn't enjoyable to some degree, you know, come on. And we think that to follow Jesus is to give up all the fun in life, all the parts of sin that we enjoy, and to live a quiet, and dignified, and upright, and uptight life of discipline, and sacrifice, and sincerity. There are people in our lives that literally have left the church because they said, you can't have fun in, what is this? Why are people laughing? Ugh, can't have that in church. Heaven's going to be really a surprise to some of these people. Whew! But seriously, if you ask most people who are not saved, they don't have an interest in God because he's no fun. He's going to make me give up all this stuff. I love this life. I don't want to give up all those things. It's a lie. God wants to satisfy our desires with good things. He doesn't want to take good things away from us. He doesn't want to take good things away from you. And if he does, it's because he has something better for you. That is who our God is. He wants to actually give us real joy, full and abundant life. He wants to equip and enable us to fully enjoy our lives. Let me just take a look through the Psalms over and over and over again. We are promised that he wants to give us joy. We know those are fruits of the Spirit. He wants to give those things to us, not take them away. Psalm 84:11 says this, "The Lord gives grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right." God doesn't want to, he doesn't want to withhold anything from you. He wants you to live a good, full, enjoyable life. So when we do what is right, when we turn away from our sin and we just trust God, Lord, what you say is truth. What your way of living is best. When we choose to just obediently follow him, when we turn away from that bad stuff, don't just turn away from the bad stuff. Ask God, what is the better stuff? What is the good stuff? What is the stuff I was created for then? You know? I love getting drunk, but I can't get drunk no more. What am I supposed to do? Get drunk on the Spirit, you know? You'll wake up feeling pretty good the next morning, you know, not all hungover. I mean, come on. He wants to satisfy your desires with good things. But we choose how to live our lives, and God won't steal that away from you. He lets you choose. Choose him or choose the things of the world. Whatever you want to fill your life with, he will let you stuff yourself to the brim. You see, Jesus didn't just descend from heaven to earth and wrap himself in the flesh. Jesus didn't just take on the cross and get put in a grave. Jesus didn't just descend into Hades and Abraham's bosom and set captives free. Jesus rose again to life. He ascended to the highest of highs, the best high. His sorrow lasted for a night, but his joy is everlasting. You will go through different seasons in life, but his overall desire for us in life is to enjoy them. That's why he gave us commands. That's why he tells us not to sin, because he wants us to only have good things in life that bring blessing and abundance. So we're going back to Ephesians 4. Okay, verse 10. "And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church." And you guys know these five, right? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And they have a role. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, to build up the church, the body of Christ. We're all called to be bodybuilders. And I'm building something, but it ain't a whole lot of muscle. But we're called to be bodybuilders in the body. And is that ever going to end? Well, verse 13, nah. "This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and in our knowledge of God's Son that we become mature in the Lord, that we measure up to the full and complete standard of Christ." Do you get the idea from reading these things that God wants us to live empty lives, void of any good thing? He wants to fill us up to the full. In fact, according to a lot of the Psalms, he wants us to our lives to be filled to overflowing, so that that joy and love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faith, all those things, self-control, pour out into other people's lives that we're around. What's pouring out of your life into those around you? Fruits of spirit, fruits of the flesh. Envy, strife. I haven't heard many orgies lately, but you know, what's happening? Fruits of the spirit, fruits of the flesh. God wants us to live our lives to their fullest and to lack no good thing. Then we will no longer be immature like children. It's a nice way of saying, grow up! It's Paul's lovely letter to the church. Just grow up. Come on. Then we won't be tossed and blown around by every wind of new teaching. Guys, stay off YouTube. So many new teachings out there. I don't know. There's good stuff. There's really good stuff out there. And there's some stuff that's just like, until we get like the meat and potatoes down, let's not think about all the, extra biblical. I don't want to say it's unbiblical, but extra biblical things that we really don't know. You know, let's focus on the good stuff and mature and grow there a little bit first. Then we'll no longer be immature. We won't be tossed around by every new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies that are so clever that they sound like truth. They sound like truth. And we all know from Matthew chapter 4, what did Satan use to tempt Jesus? The Bible, Scripture. So even though they sprinkle in the Scriptures, it could still be a lie. Okay, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. You know, I can literally read a verse from the Old Testament, and go and kill every man, woman, child, and beast, because the Bible said to do it. It literally did. God told people to do that, but does he want me to do that? Context, context, context. Yes. We won't be tricked with lies so clever they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak truth in love, growing in every way to be more and more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Each part does its own special work, and they help the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. God has given a special grace. He has given unique giftings and talents and abilities so that we can all be built up together. Not tearing each other down, but building each other up, equipping each other, helping us to mature. So that we all do the work of ministry and we all reach full unity in Christ. So that we are whole and healthy and full and overflowing with his great unfailing love and lacking no good thing. That's what the church is supposed to look like. We have been called, in verse 1, to lead a life worthy of our calling that we have received. We have been freely given everything we need to live a life of godliness. Everything we need. The question is, will we live our best lives? What is the life that we will choose to live? Sometimes we get so caught up in, roles and titles and positions, and really, none of that matters. What matters is really how you treat people, how you serve people, how you love people. That's what God sees. That's what God judges. He judges the attitudes and the motives of our heart. Not whether you're a CEO or janitor. I know I've made this analogy before. CEO can be gone for a month. No one would ever notice. Janitor's gone for a week or two. People start to notice pretty fast. Who has the bigger impact and influence? For kids at Shinnecock Valley Elementary, man, there's a janitor that had a bigger influence than any teacher over there. You know why? Because he's a believer, led by the Spirit of God, just served and loved all of his days. Evan, absolutely, amazing guy. So, will we choose to grow up? Will we choose to rise up in the grace that has been given to us? Will we take the promised land? Or will we keep whining and complaining, going round and round and around? God let the choice up to his people. God let the choice up to his people. Which one are we going to be? We are supposed to live this way. Verse 17, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do. They are hopelessly confused. Anybody see any confusion in our nation? That just makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. I just can't follow half of these things. But people believe it and follow it and rally around it and what do you call it whenever you go out and you protest for it? And like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Anybody want to go take a ride? Let's all hop on! Sing some hymns down the road. I don't know, everybody, yeah. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life that God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off that old self, because that was all of us at one point in our lives. Don't look down on people like that was all of us at one point. Just living to please yourself, doing what you thought was right, no matter what anyone else says. Throw that thing off. That is not living your best life. Throw off your old sinful nature. Throw off your former way of life. It was corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. You notice that there's nothing religious and conforming about this. It's not act a certain way, talk a certain way, be a certain way. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. That's where the bulk of your life comes from. You want to make your life miserable? Have a bad attitude. You want everyone around you to be miserable? Have a bad attitude. It is so contagious. Your thoughts and your attitudes. That's what Jesus wants to transform through the Holy Spirit. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous, truly holy. That's the call to holiness. Let the Spirit renew and transform you from the inside out, your thoughts and your attitudes. Everything else will follow it. Your words, your behaviors, your actions, they will all follow your thoughts and your attitudes. Got to get rid of your stinking thinking, right? Got to get rid of it. There's only one way to deal with the old sinful nature, the way that we used to live. What does the Bible tell us to do with it? Cast it off, crucify it, kill it, put it to death. You got to get rid of it. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. You say you're going to do something, do it. It's not that hard, not that complicated. And if you're not sure, just don't say you're going to do it, right? I mean, it's not that hard in life. Stop telling lies. Tell your neighbors the truth, because we're all part of the same body. And don't let sin by letting anger, and don't sin by letting anger control you. We're all going to get angry, but don't sin by letting anger take the driver's seat. Because it's going to wreck your life. It's going to destroy you in every way that it can. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives the foothold to the devil. That's right. Anger doesn't just give the driver's seat, the wheel, it gives the foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, stop it! Quit stealing! Instead, use your hands for good hard work. Then you can give generously to people who are in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Just stop! Just stop. Oh my goodness. Never thought I'd have to tell the church to not swear. Come on. People, just stop. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything that you say be good. Let everything that you say be helpful. Let everything that you say be an encouragement to everyone who hears it. Because people are listening. And do not bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit by the way you live. Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit can be grieved and sorrowful because the way you're living, you're dragging him right through it too. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by the way that you live. I mean, that just sums it up right there. Go home. You live one out, you're going to do pretty well for yourself. Remember this. The Holy Spirit has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all rage. Get rid of all anger. Get rid of all harsh words. Get rid of all slander. Get rid of all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other. Be tender-hearted. Forgive each other just as Christ forgave you. oh my goodness, I mean, this one chapter, you take a couple of words from it and you can nail life. You can live your life to the full. You can live your best life by just taking a couple words from it and running with it. There's so much wisdom here for practically living a godly life. The life that you were created for. The life that you were purposed for. And guess what happens when you use something for a purpose other than which it was made? I think I've used this a thousand times because I do this all the time. I got these nice long, you know, flat screwdrivers. You know, the long shaft ones, and you use it to pry stuff. And then next time you need to take out a little straight, what do you call it, flathead screw, and you use that screwdriver, it's like, and you're like trying to stay on the head, and it's like, why won't you work right? Well, you misused it. That's what sin does to us. It corrupts, it perverts, and then when you try to live the life that God has told you to live, this ain't working. What's wrong? You need healed. You need restored. You need delivered. You need straightened out. Because you used your life for a different purpose than which it was created for. And that's what sin does. So this morning we're going to end in prayer. I just want to encourage you, keep going through this chapter, Ephesians 4. Keep going through this chapter. And go through it with an open heart, an open mind, and let the Spirit who authored this chapter, who dwells in you if you've given your life to Jesus, reveal to you how to live your best life. Where is it that you're missing it right now that's causing you to be miserable? Where is it that you're missing right now that's causing you to be hopeless? Where is it that you're missing it right now that's causing you to be darkened and depressed and oppressed in life? Let him reveal it and let him lead you out of it. Cast it off and put on the new self. You'll look good. You'll look good to those around you. You'll like that new life. You're living your best life. All right, so Jesus, we thank you. None of us can live a perfect, sinless life. We thank you that you did for us. So that instead of death and curses, we can receive life and blessing. Lord, we can't do it on our own. We need you. We need you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we don't want to grieve you anymore by the way we talk and live and act. So transform our thoughts. Transform our attitudes, Lord. We want to be more like you, Jesus. We want to be more like you. We want to give hope to the hopeless. We want to bring healing to the sick. We want to give encouragement to the downtrodden. Those who are bound by all kinds of things of this world, Lord, we want to set them free. Help us to live our best life. Teach us, guide us, equip us, train us. Our lives are yours, Jesus. We just surrender them to you today. Have your way. Let your will be done here on the earth, Lord. In my life and through my life. I want people to see me and see the mess that I am, but to see your blessing, your strength in my weakness, your glory in my shame, your healing in my brokenness, your beauty in my ashes, Lord, your brand new life from the things that have been stolen and killed in my life, Lord. Make all things new, Jesus, in your name. Amen.